Worship the Lord Jesus this evening as we remember the birth of God's Son. We'd love you to join us at any of our services on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. We also live stream our services, and if you're watching online, we're glad to have you worshiping along with us. If you're not connected with the church or you would like to speak to someone about a potential need that you might have, please feel free to contact us and we will try our best to help. We're having our Christmas offering for a hamper appeal for Women's Aid and the Simon community. There's a basket at the back of the hall if you would like to contribute, but if you've come unprepared, please do not feel embarrassed. Finally, I would like to thank all who have been involved in today's service, those on sound, projection, deacons, those who have decorated the church, and our musicians and soloists, who will be leading us in our worship. Thank you. As we participate together, we all want to magnify and glorify the Lord. This evening will run largely unannounced. We're going to have various scripture readings that trace the promise of a baby to be born who will bring true peace to his people. Peace with God, peace with one another. We'll sing carols, and if you're able to, we invite you to stand and sing as they begin. And we will have a duet from Leah and Hannah Chambers, and also a solo from Johnny McClure. So thank you all for that, and we look forward to it. Allow me to lead us in prayer to God as we commence our service of worship. Heavenly Father, we come before you, the Holy God, who is set apart from us in every way. You are majestic in your holiness. You are the creator of all things. And you are the God who alone is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. In fact, we cannot bring you enough praise, God. Our words fall short at describing your greatness. Our lives fall short of displaying your glory and goodness to others, for we have sinned against you. But God, as we come to this carol service, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus, born into our world, born into this world and facing rejection from his people, facing death so that he could rescue us. We thank you for the message of Christmas, that the fullness of God dwelt in this baby boy, who would come to reconcile all things in heaven and on earth and make peace through his blood shed on the cross. God, at this time, we want to remember those who are suffering, for whom the Christmas time, Christmas period, will bring sorrow and grief. We pray that you, the Lord of all comfort, would tend to them, minister to them, bring peace to those who are weary. Help us as we consider the King who became a man, who became a servant, who is able to sympathize with us, sympathize with our weaknesses, who knows what it is like to suffer loss and betrayal. We pray that this would be a time this evening when we can magnify you, God, in our hearts, bring you the praise and adoration that you alone deserve. God, would you direct our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and the true peace that he offers to weary souls. We pray this in his name and for his glory. We're going to begin, we're going to begin this evening by singing our first carol, Once in Royal David City, and then Florence will come to bring our first reading. Let's rise to sing.
Thank you. Our first reading starts at the beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and the first 15 verses. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God said to the man, or called to the man and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel."
Thank you. Okay, our second reading is from Isaiah 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they were glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
And our third reading is from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to the start of verse 5. It says, But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give up them up until the time when she who is in labour has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Amen.
Just a tiny nowhere town. We're going to hear now what God said through Isaiah in chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice on the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the darkness those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them.
Some captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. Tribes on Sinai's height, in ancient times didst give the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou King. and wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
The next reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, the birth of Jesus Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Jesus Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joys that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Thank you again to all who have participated so far in our service, and thank you to Sean and Rebecca for reading the passage we're going to consider now for a moment. The announcement of the angels to the shepherds who brought good news of great joy that will be for all the people. But first, let me share with you that when it comes to shopping for Christmas treats and festive snacks, there is one thing that I simply cannot ignore. The yellow stickers in the supermarks. Tesco, Marks and Spencer's, wherever your preference is. For those who aren't acquainted, although I'm reluctant to let you in on this secret, items with yellow stickers are those which are nearing by their use-by date and have been reduced in price. Maybe it's because I'm a cheap skate, but every time I spy something that I like with a yellow sticker, I say to myself, that is too good to go to waste. Maybe after Christmas you walk around Tesco and you see all the reduced-to-clear chocolate. Just can't resist from putting it in my basket. Too good to go to waste, too good to ignore. Well, I want to say this evening that the news of Jesus' birth is news of great joy that is too good to ignore and too good not to share with others. As we read Luke's account of the announcement of this great news, we read that suddenly out of the darkness there was great light. The glory of the Lord shone around this group of lowly shepherds tending to their flocks. The angel appeared to them. And terrified as they were, the angel spoke to these shepherds and said, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This news was too good to ignore. And so the shepherds, after seeing this great sight, we read that they made their way to the Lord Jesus to see this baby lying in a manger. And when they saw him, they made known to everyone they could find the news that they had been told concerning this child. News too good to share. After the events of that great evening, we might imagine them to have said to everyone, "You won't believe what we have just seen with our eyes. An angel appeared to us. There was a bright light. Glory from the Lord shone around us. We were terrified. Angels of great multitudes were singing glory to God in the highest." We might expect them to have said, "You can't believe what our eyes have just seen. It was amazing." But actually, rather than tell everyone what they saw, Luke, the gospel writer, tells us that the shepherds made known to everyone possible what was told concerning this child. Because this news about a child born in a manger was too good not to share with others. Forget about the angels in the sky, the glorious phenomenon of lights. The shepherds did not say, "You should have seen it." They said, "You should have heard it." And they share every detail about the good news the angel said to them. I'm going to put them up on the screen. Chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, verse 11. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is the news they announced. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." In this announcement, we see who Jesus is and what he would do. Firstly, we see that he is the Christ. Christ, Jesus Christ, is not a name, it's a title. It's the Greek version of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one or promised deliverer. In our readings this evening, we've been tracing the promise of an individual to come right from Genesis chapter 3. The people of Israel have been waiting for the promised seed of a woman who will come and deliver his people. They've been waiting for someone who would come and strike the head of the serpent and who would defeat the power of sin and death. They were waiting also for someone who would be the true king of Israel, who would come from the line of David to lead his people. This person was the Messiah, the Christ. And so the angel announces that the Christ has been born. But not only that, he is also the Lord. He is the Lord. That's a divine title. The message of Christmas is that God's promised deliverer, the Christ, the Messiah, is none other than his own Son, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, entered into our world, into our mess, and became a human being like us, yet without sin, having been born by the power of the Holy Spirit. The one to whom all glory, honour and praise belong, exchanged the glories of heaven for the filth of a manger. Let's not cleanse Christmas this year. Let's not turn it into a primary school nativity. He was not born in a warm, sweaty assembly hall. He was born exposed to the elements in an unsanitary, hollowed out feeding trough in the ground. The King of Glory humbled himself by becoming a baby. He was born into obscurity, into a poor family. He cried. He needed changed. He needed fed. He knew what it was like to be tired, to grow and be a child, to be a teenager, to be a young adult. He experienced the full range of human emotions from joy to sorrow. The one who had at the same time had everything became dependent on his earthly mother. He added to himself a human nature like us. Without laying aside any of his divine nature, he became fully God and fully man. But why? Why did he do this? Why was this necessary? Well, the third thing the angels announce is that this child would be a savior. A savior. The word savior means someone who rescues, someone who delivers people. The fact that he is called a savior tells us that there is someone or something or some people, which is the case of being needing of being saved or rescued. The Bible tells us that that is us. The Lord Jesus came to rescue human beings from their sin, which has left us alienated from God. Jesus, the Son of God, did not stand on the sideline and call out to us instructions about how to be saved. Instead, he entered into our world to seek after people and call them out of darkness, to rescue them. So God is not like a lifeguard who stands at the side of a swimming pool watching needy people drown. He is the God who enters the waters, pulls them out to rescue us if we accept his help. In order to rescue human beings, Jesus Christ had to become a human being like us. He had to endure the wrath or the judgment of God that we deserve by dying on a cross. We read in Colossians 1, Paul writes that the fullness of God dwelt in the Lord Jesus, and through him he has reconciled all things in heaven and on earth by making peace by his blood on the cross. This was such good news that one angel was not enough. One angel who alone struck terror into these seasoned, hearty shepherds. One angel was not enough. A host of angels appear in verse 14, singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased. The news of Christmas is too good to ignore, because through Jesus, the promised Savior, we can have true peace with God. True peace with God. In Northern Ireland, we tend to say things like, would you give my head some peace? Peace for us can be a moment's quiet and calm. But of course, it's much more than that, isn't it? We long for peace in more ways than one. Peace with one another in our day-to-day lives. A peaceful and quiet life. Peace within our own souls that are often weighed down by the troubles and anxieties of life. Not to mention the peace we long for on a global scale as we're shocked by what we see in the world around us. We long for peace because we live in a world that is sick with the deadly disease of sin. No matter what initiative or plan or project we make to achieve peace, true peace, everlasting peace, is impossible as far as human beings like me, are involved. But the announcement of Jesus' birth to these shepherds was that in coming to the world as a baby, Jesus would bring peace on the earth to all those with whom he is pleased. Because having come from the glories of heaven to the filth of this manger, Jesus would later endure the agonies of the cross. It was his mission during his life, his death, his resurrection, to restore a broken and fractured world and to bring us back into fellowship with God. Because as long as we are rebelling against God, we cannot have true peace. Earlier we read from Genesis 3. It describes the fall of man into sin, and in the garden before that event, there was perfect peace with God. Human beings had dignity. They were granted the ability to rule over the earth by God. They were given responsibility, called to obey God. But then the serpent came, twisted the word of God, and man failed to drive the serpent out and instead listened to his lies and followed his ways. As a result, our world has become fallen, fractured. The relationships between humans and God has been destroyed. There's a void between us and God that we cannot fill because of our sin. We are people who seek to steal the glory of God for ourselves, to take the good things he has given to us and reject him, spit in his face. Because of this, we deserve his wrath, his righteous anger. By nature, we are cut off from God, incapable of joining peace with him. We're separated, alienated. And our broken relationship with God impacts our relationships with one another. Our human relationships are fractured and we often fight against one another. Even our relationship with creation is distorted. Rather than having peace, we have havoc, disunity, and disruption. This is bad news. News that is so bad, we try and ignore it. But it is the truth. Maybe the reason you've never accepted the good news of Christmas is because you always stop at the bad news. The news of your sin, the news of rebellion against God, the news that each of us stands opposed to God. But the good news of Christmas is that the Lord Jesus came to this earth as a baby. He lived a life of perfect, sinless obedience to his Father, and he died a death on the cross that he did not deserve, bearing the wrath of God upon himself that we do deserve, in order to grant us peace with God. You might ask then, why then do we not have peace automatically? If Jesus has already come, why is there not peace in the world? Well, the truth is that many have rejected his peace. Many choose to walk in darkness, and peace with one another is impossible unless we have peace with our Creator. The angels did not announce peace for all. They actually announced peace with those with whom he is pleased. And God is pleased with those who respond to the good news of Jesus' birth, his life, and his death, and his resurrection in faith. That is what pleases God, faith. Peace is only possible through faith in a Savior. The Lord Jesus, the promised Prince of Peace, only those who accept him as their Savior can enjoy the peace that he brings to troubled souls. Paul writes in Romans 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified or declared righteous through faith, we have peace with God." Peace is only possible through a Savior, through faith in a Savior. And this is exactly how the shepherds responded in faith. Shepherds in the ancient world were really nobodies. They were despised. They were considered unclean, untrustworthy, and yet God chose these shepherds to reveal this good news to. God chose what was weak in the eyes of the world. He chose what is low and shameful, but he chose those who acknowledged their need of a Savior. They had faith. This was news that was too good for them to ignore. And so they went to see the baby lying in the manger. They went to see Jesus. And as they returned home, praising and glorifying God, that they were not just singing empty, vain words. They were singing words of adoration and praise to the God who is their Savior. This Lord had been born onto them. This baby had come to rescue them from their sin and rebellion against God. And so this news was too good not to share. The announcement that was made to the shepherds that a baby had been born who would save his people, who would bring peace and joy into their lives. This was no ordinary baby, but the Son of God who stepped down from heaven and would humble himself to death on a cross. This news is too good to ignore. This news is too good not to share with you this evening. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, and I want to say to you that you are too precious to be lost for eternity and suffer God's judgment. Why did Jesus come to the earth? One simple answer to that question is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. This is news that is too good to ignore. I call you to hear it and to respond in faith. You don't need to have the answer to every question to begin a journey of following the Lord Jesus and having faith in him. Be like the shepherd. Go to the Lord Jesus and he will be your peace. If you'd like to speak to me about that, please do grab me at the end and we can chat over a cup of tea and coffee. We're also going to be running a Hope Explored course, a 3-week Bible study in January. If you would like to come and ask more questions about the Christian faith, you'd be very welcome to do so. Starting in January the 9th, please do chat to us if you want more information. But before we end with our final carol and our pastor Ben comes to pray for us, let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of the Lord Jesus, the Christ, our Savior, who has been born onto us. We thank you for how he humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant and humbling himself to death on a cross, that those who come to him in faith might have peace with you for eternity. We thank you for this good news. Amen.
just echo the thanks that's already been given this evening. Thank you for all who have participated. Thank you for coming this evening. It's been lovely to enjoy your company and this time together. If you've been encouraged, blessed by this evening, if you've been challenged by this evening, just as Reuben mentioned earlier, Hope Explored, there'll be invites on the table at the back starting in the new year, January the 7th. You'd be very welcome to come along, think a bit more about the hope that Jesus brings, about the peace that he can offer. Along with that, maybe between Christmas and New Year, you get a bit of downtime after all the busyness, a bit of downtime to read this little book. There are copies of it at the back on the table, free. So do pick that up if you'd like to think more about who Jesus is and the peace that he offers. I'm going to enjoy some supper now and time together, so don't rush on if you don't need to. Before we do that, we're going to pray, but let me just wish you a very peaceful Christmas. Those who will not see maybe before the new year, and God's blessing. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do just bow in your presence after all that we've heard, all that we've sung about this great news of great joy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that sent forth the Son of God. We thank you for the love that compelled the Son of God to leave the glory of heaven for the filth of a manger, to endure the agony of the cross, that he might give to us as an eternal gift peace with you. Well, Heavenly Father, we pray that we would know and enjoy and cherish this peace this Christmas. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the food, for those who prepared it, and you bless our conversation with one another for the remainder of this evening. And then would you part us all to our homes in peace, we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.